Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's just give Him praise. Thank you, Lord. Magnify You. We worship You. You are so faithful. You are so good. You help us. Oh, thank You, Lord. We just give You praise. The future is bright, and You've got an awesome plan for us and plans to prosper us, not to harm us. But You are a good God. So, Lord, I thank You today for Your help today in giving this message. I ask for utterance. I ask for boldness. I ask for clarity of speech. Add things to the things that I've written down, Father. And, Lord, let it not be just another message that people fill their minds with words. Not another message that we sleep through. Not another message, Lord, where we just text during service and we're bored and just can't wait to get out and go to have lunch. Father, I just pray that it'd be a message that just prick each heart here. Meet them right where they're at with the power of God. And Lord, that influence them and towards You. Lord, if there's any hard hearts here today, Lord, I'd ask, may the love of God, Your love just overwhelm them and break that hardness up, Father. Their hearts may be open to You and to Your plan, that we may be open as a church to the Spirit of God. So we thank You for it, Father. We give You praise. We thank You, Lord, for what's happened in the past, but we look towards the future. We move towards the future, Father. And we thank You for Your help. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Have your Bibles turned to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. I don't know, you know. For me, I'm just really tired of religion. I am just flat wore out with religion. And religion is just the traditions of men. It's man's ways. It doesn't bring life. It kills. And, you know, I just pray to God that this church, how, you know, we're going to be here till Jesus comes, that we just don't get wrapped up in religion. And if there's any religion here, that we may just root it out. Just, it's a nasty, ugly, it's mean. I don't want it. Anyway, are you in Matthew 28? Matthew 28, verse 18. I'm reading from the Message translation. Call this the Great Commission. Everybody say Great Commission. Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave His charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, making them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all that I have commanded you. I will be with you as you do this. That's good. I will be with you as you do this, day after day after day, right up to the end of the age. Now, I won't go over to Mark 16, but you really, to find the Great Commission, you have to put Matthew 28 and Mark 16 together. So there's two main parts to the Great Commission. And I will just say this, and I wish I could say this to the pastors out there. I wish I could say this to the church leaders, that this is what we're to be about. This is the Great Commission. This is what He charged us to do. And this is not an option. This is not, well, maybe we'll do it one day. No, it's what we're supposed to be doing. So there's two parts to it. It's to preach the gospel to every creature. And the second part is to make disciples. In really, whatever order, they're really one and the same. They really work together. And that is what we're to be doing. And, you know, and I hate to just say it, but many, and I'm talking about, you know, about North America, I mean, we're in decline in the North American church. I don't know if you knew that. We've got some big churches that are growing, but overall, we're declining. Every denomination, every group, losing people. So many people today, right now, in Augusta, Georgia, they're not in church today. sleeping in, watching TV. It doesn't mean anything to them. We haven't influenced them in a way where they want to get up and come to church. I'm not mad at them. I'm mad at the church. How we've lived our life, going back to religion. We think that, you know, Christianity is a bunch of morals and all our different rules and regulations. And we start dumping all those rules and regulations on people. Who would want to come to your church? Who can live up to that standard that you don't even live up to? So, you know, we're failing in our churches because we've gotten away from our mission. We've gotten away from what He told us to do. And we've gotten over into all these other things. We've gotten into our buildings. And we've gotten into our programs. And we've gotten into the praise and worship team. And those are all great things and all necessary things. But this is the main thing. This is what He told us to do. And so the pastors, you know, we're not going to grow. We're not going to flourish and thrive and move forward until we get things right. And so, I mean, I can't speak for every other leader. I can only speak for what we're doing here at Good News Church. I can try to influence others, but I'm accountable to God for what happens here at Good News Church. So I take this very seriously. Jesus gave us this mission 2,000 years ago. I'm not going to finish with it until He comes. Till I die or till He comes. And this is, again, it's not an option. It's an assignment. It's a charge. It's a duty. It's a calling. What a mission is for any organization, it's what we're supposed to be doing. That's the mission, what we're supposed to be doing. So, Good News Church, what are we supposed to be doing? What's our mission? How specifically are we going to fulfill the Great Commission? And so our mission here, we've kind of, you know, narrowed it, put it a little smaller sentence. It's the Great Commission, but it's just in our language. It's in our language that makes sense for us here at Good News Church. For people in Augusta, Georgia. That's all it is. It's still the Great Commission. But it's the way that we here at Good News Church fulfill the Great Commission. And so when we wrote our mission statement, and again, what mission is, what we're supposed to be doing. That's what a mission is. We based our mission on our values. And I'm just going to read them. I'm not going to spend time on them. But our mission came out of our values. Values are what you believe in strongly. Values are, you know, at the core of who you are. So we have eight values here. Common unity. Empowerment. Passion for souls. Holy Spirit led. Miraculous power. These are things we value. These are things that will not change. These are things that we're, you know, we base our lives on. We live our lives for. Open arms. Anti-religion. And stewardship, and I've been thinking about that word. That's an older word. A lot of people today don't understand. I'm thinking about changing that to generosity. But these are our values. And so this mission statement that I'm about to say and speak to you is what Good News Church is supposed to be doing. It's what we measure everything that we're doing here by. And it's what we want to use our finances for. And it's what we want to be engaged in. So our mission at Good News Church is empowering people to give life. Everybody say that. Empowering people to give life. Now let's say it like you really mean that. I mean, let's just say it with, I mean, like it was, this was live or die. This is the revolution and we're, you know, we're at the moment about going out into the battlefield. And we're about to say some kind of mantra and say something that we were really passionate about. And I don't think if they're about to go out and fight, they're going to say, empowering people to give life. So let's just say this together. Let's say it again and just say it from our hearts and say it with some gusto and say it like it's something we believe and something we're living for. All right? Say this with me. Empowering people give life. Thank you. They told me before the service he was really tired from. I did all that just for Nate. But Nate, you're a revolutionary man. I need to give you some of these revolution books I'm reading. Maybe not. We give life. I give life. We're life givers here. We are a life-giving church. Now let's go over this mission and talk about it a little bit. The word empower. It's one of our values. The word empower means to invest with power. To equip or supply with ability. It means to enable. Not to enable to do wrong. But to enable. To make someone more confident and assertive. And we might call that boldness. To embolden. It's to give someone official authority and legal power. Now today, if you're a member of this church and you're just like wiped out and you're just going to fall asleep during this message today, that's okay. Just get the CD. If you can't handle it right now, get it for later and listen to it, please. But so we're empowering people. And we do that primarily by teaching and training, but we also do it by example. And empowerment comes from the Word of God. There's power in the Word. And it comes by the Holy Spirit. And we'll read a scripture about that in a minute. But the things that we're teaching, you know, the power of the Word of God. We talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We talk about who we are in Christ. We talk about our identification with Christ. We talk about our covenant rights, about healing and provision and peace and joy and all that we have by our covenant with Him. We talk about the love of God, God's grace. We talk about walking in love to others. We talk about living by faith, our authority as a believer, being led by the Holy Spirit. These are all things that we teach on purpose. And certainly we want you to have life. Certainly, that's a given in our mission statement. In order to give life, you can't give something you don't have. You can't bring an offering of money that you don't have. That's just good intentions. That's a wish. But in order to give life, you have to have life. So that's in, you know, obviously getting people saved, begin to teach them the Word of God. And, you know, you got to be patient with people. I have people that I have, you know, been here for 5 years and, you know, I'll preach a certain message 50 times and they'll get it on the 50th time. So I can't give up. I used to believe in the home run theory, you know, that each message, I just solve all of our problems in one message. I'll preach the home run and we'll be worse off the next week. Going backwards. You just can't do it all. It's just the whole discipleship process is just seed by seed by seed by love by patience. Just hanging in there with people, not giving up. I mean, they'll do all they can do to try to get you mad and to try to get you to kick them out of the church. And certainly I've been tempted. But then I pray and the Lord gets all over me. And how would says to me, how would you like if I would have kicked you out of my body? All those stupid things you've done. Okay, Lord, I repent. I'll just keep on loving them. They're idiots, but I'll keep on loving them. Now, nobody here today is an idiot. All those people out there. I would never call you an idiot to your face. So all these things about empowerment is to get you confident in who you are in Christ. But it's not empowering you so you can watch more TV in the big easy chair, it'd be more comfortable, stronger to be able to do the clicker or beeper or whatever it is, whatever you call it. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about so you can be more comfortable, so you can be healed, you know, watching American Idol. Or being so more comfortable so you have enough provision for you and your family. I want you to have enough for you and your family. I want your family to be blessed. But that's not, you know, where we stop there. We have a purpose in our empowerment. And it's like what Nate was saying, is to the fingerprint goes both ways. Who we are in Christ, growing in that. But then I want you to make a difference in your world. And this is not the world we're talking about. This is the practice ground. The game is out there. We just practice in here. We train in here and we practice. But the game is out there in the world in which you live. We learned at ORU to go into every man's world. Whatever you did, we were all called. But you have a purpose and you have a reason for living. And I'm not just about you being more comfortable. I want you to be healed and well and provided for and to have joy and to have peace and have a great marriage and your kids with you and all these different things and drive a nice car and have clothes on your... I mean, I don't want you to come naked to church. Thank God. Except for those going to be in the Fit Club. They can come naked, but nobody else. Good News Church, where they let you, if you're in shape, you can come naked. All righty, I digress. Okay. Making a difference. So there's a purpose behind our empowerment. Look over in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. I have heard every kind of purpose for the baptism of the Holy Spirit that you can think of. And most of the time, it's not what the Bible says. Is it clear? It tells us the purpose for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not so you have goosebumps. It's not so for the gifts of the Spirit. Those are great. It's not so you have more revelation of the Word. That's great. All these different things. But Acts 1:8, this is what he says. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, what do we receive this power for? What are you empowered for? So you can praise Him. So you can, well, you know, blah, 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 all the different things. It says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. That's the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Not so you can feel good. You see how far we've gotten off? We've got to get back on track. Romans 5:17, Amplified, says this: for if because of one man's trespass, lapse, offense, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with Himself, reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. So we're raising up here, and I'm going to be patient with you. I'm not asking you to be this overnight, but we're raising up world overcomers here. We're raising up ambassadors for Christ here. We're raising up people that are more than conquerors here. We're raising up people that are to have a victory through Jesus. Sons and daughters of God who know who they are and are walking in that. All right, that's the empowerment part. Now let's talk about giving life. Turn to John 10:10. probably the verse I have read more than any other, quoted any of any other verse in the history of this church. John 10:10, and its reason being is it has to do with our mission here. But John 10:10 says this: the thief, who's the thief? The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. See, the enemy's mission is destruction, killing, stealing. That's what he's working on. That's what he's trying. And it's sad to say he's even using the church to do this. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life. And he just doesn't even stop there. He says that they may have it more abundantly. That word means superabundant, excessive. God does everything in an excessive way. Overflowing, extraordinary, more than sufficient. He not only wants you to have life, but I mean the abundant life. Now the word life, is it okay if I come down here? I promise I'll act nicer if I come down here, all right? The word life in John 10:10 here is the word zoe in the Greek. Zoe. And of course we're all living here. Everybody here is alive. Your bodies are alive. And so that's life. But this word zoe is a different word for life than just being physically alive. Zoe means life given by God to us through Jesus Christ. So in essence, it's the very life that God has Himself. Did you catch that? So this abundant life is the very life that God has. It's His life. Let me read a couple scriptures here. 2 Peter 1, verse 2 says this: grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. When you're born again, who's born again here today? You made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You know you're going to heaven. When you were born again, your nature was dead to God. And I'll just quickly, man is three parts, spirit, soul, and body. The body is what's laid down in the grave, but the spirit and the soul go somewhere. The Bible says two places, heaven or hell. There's not a third option. Don't you wish there was a third option? Heaven or hell. Heaven's good, hell's bad. Heaven's about life. Hell's about stealing, killing, and destroying for eternity. That's a pretty sobering thing there. But so when a person is just born into this world, you're born without God, and your nature, your spirit man on the inside, is dead. When you're born again, the very life of God, resurrection power life, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, comes in to you, into your heart, into your spirit, man, and recreates it and makes it alive and gives it the very nature of God and brings the very life of God Himself on the inside of you. Somebody say something.
Amen.
That's pretty good. That's a pretty good deal. Ephesians 4:18, I'll just read this to you. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts. See, they're blinded. And so when we're talking about giving life, obviously the highest form of life would be resurrection life. If we're going to be empowered to give life, The greatest life we can give is to get someone saved. Because they go from death, spiritual death, with hell as their destiny, to life and to heaven for eternity. I mean, that's a big deal. And certainly when we're talking about giving life, we're talking about, I mean, ministering to somebody. I mean, how awesome is that? Someone is sick, someone has a pain, something going on, and you minister to them and you command that pain to leave in the name of Jesus, and it leaves. I mean, that's a pretty high form of life as well. Certainly ministering someone and having them being filled with the Holy Spirit, where the Spirit of God comes in. You've seen the illustration where I have the cup and, you know, the Spirit's there, but to fill it up to overflowing. Acts 1:8 says that the Spirit comes up on. That's a pretty high form of giving life as well. So certainly with what we're doing, how purposed we got here, I mean, certainly we would want every believer, because we're making disciples, going back to the Great Commission. Certainly we want every believer to be able to pray for somebody. Certainly we want everybody to minister the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And certainly we want everybody here, as many as possible, to get somebody saved. But I will say this, not everybody's there. You don't have to wait. And I'll tell you what we're not saying giving life is. We're not saying giving life is having your own TV program. We're not saying giving life is you've got to suddenly now go in the street corner and start yelling at people. You're going to hell. So everybody, a lot of people said, thank God, because I'm not saying you have to go to some foreign land and live off the land. Others go, thank God for that. But when you're born again and the life of God comes in you, you don't have to wait in order to do certain things in order to give life. Giving life, because it's in you, it can be a lot of different ways that giving life comes forth. And you start, again, you can't give what you don't have, but all of us have seeds. I went a few weeks ago to see Kay Fox and Bruce and Kay. I mean, just some struggles. Kay was having surgery, had major surgery, and it was just some difficult times. And I was going up there, and Kay had coded, and Kay was being supported 100% by a ventilator. That's pretty serious. Take that off and she dies. So Bruce is up there by himself for weeks, has been up there. And so, I mean, I look around. I mean, who else can go? I mean, I'm the guy. And so you're going up there, and there's all kind of things you think are going to happen, and you're going to pray this, and you're going to raise Kay up from the bed and all the different things. And, you know, so, but I always pray about, Lord, what do you want me to do? Every situation like this is different. Just follow in the Holy Spirit. That's one of the things we teach here, is being led by the Spirit. And I know younger people are zealous, and I don't blame anybody. But you get skillful in things as you get older and been walking from, you know, this is my 30th year walking with Jesus. But when I went into Minister K, I didn't say one scripture. Now, I did pray for her eventually, but the Lord just had me reminder of things that God has done, reminder of that she's the first student signed up for Insight. And I said, Kay, we need you in Insight. You've got to become, you know, we're going to see you in class. She's so excited about it. So funny, with her family, I've been in the hospital where Kay was on a ventilator, Bruce was out and in a coma, and also their son. Three of them I've been in the hospital with in that situation. That night, I slept on a cot in Bruce's room. I had one sheet. I was freezing all night. It's like, but thank God Bruce doesn't snore. Next day, we got up, had breakfast together. Some of the other family was there. We just fellowshiped. We just talked, told stories. See, that was giving life. I did pray and did do and minister to Bruce, but giving life takes all kind of forms. Giving life, I mean, giving somebody some food, giving somebody some clothing. You can give life at the friendship dinner. Listening and communicating and talking. See, we're empowering people to be Jesus in this world. And you start where you're at. The Bible says that Jesus went about doing good. But we do want to lead you. Because it goes to our vision, which will be another sermon. We see a community of believers strongly connected to God and to each other. Empowered by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. To be able ministers, reaching their world and beyond with the good news of Jesus Christ. So the vision is down the road in the future. We do see that for the people of Good News Church. We do see you as ministers of reconciliation. We do see you as ambassadors for Christ. We do see you as Jesus in your world. But we're willing to be patient and love on you and help you and mentor and stand with you until that time. And it may be years in the making. And no, we don't have the great building and all the different equipment and all these different things that maybe some other, the mega churches have. But I'd rather go our way than to sometimes go that other way. I mean, as long as they're built on the right foundation, I'm for anybody doing anything for God. But what I'm doing here is I'm building people. I want all that other stuff. We want to do the things the best we can. But the most important thing around here is not the chair you sit on. It's not the projector. It's not whatever, all these other things. The most important thing is what the mission is, what we're supposed to be doing, and how are we doing with that? Some days I feel really discouraged. You ever feel discouraged? Was walking this morning, just out getting some exercise and praying before the service. The Lord just spoke to me. He just said, you know, be of good courage. Don't give up. You know, I'm doing some things. You may not always see it, and it may seem like, it may not seem like we're one. It may seem like we're two, three, four. I don't know. Maybe we should have started the campaign that said four. Started there first. ...27 groups and work our way as we get down to one. And so, you know, I get frustrated because I don't see one like I think I should see one. But he just said to you, you know, be encouraged. You're about the vision. You're about the mission. Are you, you know, he told me he was pleased with me. I'm all about covenant. Three main covenants I have in my life. First is with God. And we have symbols of the covenant, different things. Well, what's your symbol of your covenant with God? It's my body. It's my spirit. It's who I am. It's His. Now I've got a covenant with my wife, and this represents my wife and my marriage and my family and my kids. But I got another covenant. And you have the cheap version here. You have my body, which is invaluable. This ring costs several hundred dollars. And this costs about 50 cents. But I wear this because I'm in covenant with you. And some of you don't have any idea what I'm talking about here. But I'm in covenant with you. And we're raising up life givers here. And so I wear that as a reminder of who I'm in covenant with. And it helps me on those days that I'm frustrated, and those days you want to give up, and those days you want to quit. Because it just seems, and let me just say this, and I understand, it's just this world that we live in is so messed up, and there's so many voices, and there's just a lot of people here, they just don't have a clue what we're doing. And I know that because of what you say and what you think church should be about. And what you focus on and what you talk about what church should be. But you know what? That's okay. I'm willing to listen to foolishness because I have a bigger vision. And I'm willing to wait for you to begin to see it, what's really important. But some people here, they're sitting here, they've been here a long time. They don't have a clue what we're doing. And I take responsibility for that. If you've been here 10, 15 years and you don't know what you're doing, I mean, that's on me. Because I must not have done a good job to communicate it to you. If you don't get it after 5, 10, 15 years of being here. Is this okay? I mean, are we going down now? Is this a downer? Oh, I'll bring it back up. We'll have a crescendo in just a minute here. I know exactly what I'm doing. I've got you right where I want you. Provision doesn't bring the vision. The vision brings provision. So I'm focused on that. All that other lot of stuff are going to come together. I'm focused on that. I'm really focused on that right now. This whole thing about one, I am looking at everything. How are we doing here with our mission? How are we doing with our vision? Yeah, it's discouraging when some of our members don't care. I mean, I'll just be honest. It's discouraging. But on the other hand, I mean, I got to go on. Just got to, again, continue to love you wherever you're at. You come here, you never get it. I'm going to love you. I'm that kind of guy. I love you. Serve you. Here for you. But I do love it when people get it. I do enjoy that. It really gets me going when people get it. I enjoy that. But I'm going to now close with this. I'm going to read to you what I think. You may have a different verse. I think these verses here, and again, we're not totally there, but I think these verses, and I've read it before so many times, closed so many services with it, but with these verses, I believe, represent where Good News Church is going, represent who we are, really better than just about any verses. 2 Corinthians 5. And you just don't look at it, I'll just read it from the Message translation. I just want you to know today, because the title of this message today is One Mission. I just want you to know what we're supposed to be doing. And if you've got questions, I'm trying to make it clear to you what we're empowering people to give life. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's the way Good News Church carries out the Great Commission. And I'm sharpening and focusing even more, even what we're doing this summer. We're towards empowerment, towards that end. We're just sharpening. We're looking at things, doing things on purpose. But 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16, Message translation says this. I believe this represents Good News Church. Because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. That's a good sermon right there. Man, if we would just do that. We looked at the Messiah that way once and got it all wrong, as you know. We certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Now we look inside, and what we see... let me stop. What I was going to say earlier, I didn't finish, is I realize there's just so much junk happening in this world and so many things coming at you. It's difficult to follow God. I was sitting there thinking as these graduates came up there, and it affected my prayer, that how many percentage of Christians, high school seniors, don't go on to follow God. It's a high percentage. They get lost in college. So that affected my prayer today. And we're just living just in end times. We're living in some difficult days. It's just tough to even get your clothes on and come to church, let alone have a vision. Okay. Now we look inside, And what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone, a new life versions. Look at it. All this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and Him and then called us to settle our relationships with each other. Woo! God put the world square with Himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sin. Can anybody see? I told you I'm bringing you the crescendo. Forgiveness of sins. Woo! God has given us the test. He can't do it. We all dream that it would be easy if He could just do it. He's given us the task of telling everyone what He is doing. We're Christ's representatives. One translation says ambassadors for Christ. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking for Christ Himself now. Wow. We're speaking for Christ Himself. Now, become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. How, you ask, in Christ, God put the wrong on Him who never did anything wrong so that we could be put right with God. So I just encourage you, if you feel like this is your church, I'm encouraging you to get that CD. I want you to listen to it and meditate on it and pray about, and let's pray about what's your part in this. And then to take seriously what our mission is. We're not going to go very far if only a few of us do this. Let's embrace it. Let's take it to heart. Because I have learned that in difficult situations, if I'll give life, those things will turn around. Get my attention off myself. The world is so selfish. Selfishness pervades. I don't want to be selfish. So whatever, just, you're like, well, I don't know. Let's pray about this. Let's believe God on purpose. Be a life-giving church, life-giving people. You fulfill the vision, the mission that God has for your life. But we go into our world and influence our worlds.